I'm Coach Jake, and right off the bat this morning, downstairs, people were already serving, getting breakfast ready, and somebody was ready to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. It was just quite the way to kick off the morning, and it's how things go here at Maywood. It's like Jesus does stuff, and people are involved, but there's not like a master plan from me or somebody else that's doing the important work, right? And this little picture here, it's kind of a little image of like an empty tomb, right? No, go back to that first one there, that new life, sorry. So here's what we believe as Christians, right? We believe the things that Jesus said about himself, right? Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Like, it matters whether Jesus is real or not. And if Jesus is real, he's saying, I'm the way to get to God, right? He's either wrong or he's the most important person, right? And how we respond to him is the most important, right? Jesus also said, I'm the resurrection of life, right? He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and he who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, right? Like, it really comes down to, like, are we going to trust? Laura was saying that downstairs. Are we going to trust Jesus? Because Jesus is saying, I'm more powerful than death. He's got the ability to give us a new life if we listen and follow, right? Paige was even talking about here about like this hope beyond death, right? And Jesus also says in the Gospel of John, he says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So all this stuff that we've been singing about how good Jesus is, how Jesus will never let us down. The hard part is, as good as Jesus is, if you've been coming to Maywood very long, you've had the experience of being let down by somebody. If you've come to Maywood very long, you've been hurt by somebody. And it's not that Maywood's the worst church ever. We could put in whatever other church name you want to put in there, but we're not immune to it either. And we can go to that next image. It's just a couple kids. It's kind of a silly picture, but you got two upset kids. One of them looks smug, and the other one looks like he got punched in the face or something, right? He's got a Band-Aid on his head. And if you stick around church long enough, you're going to feel like that kid with the Band-Aid on your head, right? Where it's like, this other person hurt me, and they don't even seem to feel bad about it. And I'm upset. Like, I'm trying to be tough, but I'm upset, right? And I'm not going to make you guys raise hands because it's going to make me sad. But if I did, like, hey, who's been hurt like that at Maywood? There'd be, unfortunately, a lot of hands. And I can, honestly, so I've been here since 2011. The most painful words that have ever been spoken to me have been to me in my own personal life have been from Maywood people, right? And I've hurt Maywood people have hurt me, right? It's fun to say we're all knuckleheads or we all need help, but it's painful to live with a bunch of people that all need help. You know, like it can get hard. And today we're going to be talking about why this church thing is worth doing and the lie that'll get into you when you got the Band-Aid on your head. Is that I'd be better by myself. And you might have a religious version of that, like me and Jesus, we're just going to do Bible studies on my own, or you might have some other version, right? But I'd be better by myself. It might be in you right now, and you're here because it's Easter, but you don't have plans to be here next week, right? Or it might just be up ahead. I can remember the first time I got really, really hurt at Maywood. I was talking to a mentor of mine who had been here a long time, and I was thinking I'd had a pretty unique experience. Anybody ever suffered but felt like, oh man, this is pretty unique, right? I don't know if you've ever been foolish like me. And this guy told me, like, yeah, about every 10 years or so, I really got, like, stabbed in the back at church, you know? And it was just, like, sad to hear. It was like, I don't want to have to go through this again. I was hoping I was special, and it was the hard part was behind me, right? That's what a lot of us hope. Like, I'm special, the hard part's behind me. We don't want to hear, like, oh, if you're going to become mature, you're just going to have to go through that multiple times. So this is like, Jake, are you sure you're supposed to be preaching on Easter? Like, isn't this supposed to be like, we were all really excited before you started talking, you know? Here we are, for better or for worse. We're together for this little bit. We're going to read a passage. It's going to talk a lot about Jesus, but it's a passage, it's Jesus himself talking even. It's a passage that gets avoided some because it has a bunch of questions to it. It has a bunch of mess to it. And I thought, like, this is the one for us, right? This is what I picked, right? So if you got a Bible, it's John chapter 20. I love the Gospel of John. If you're like, I'm not very familiar with the Bible, I want you to picture somebody you know that's named John. I want you to picture them holding a Bible, and now you won't forget where to read, right? Next time you're like, where should I read the Bible? You just open up to John, right? It's a great, great testimony of Jesus and what his life here on earth was all about. But in John chapter 20, to catch you up, to, like, as you're turning there, which if you need, like, table of contents right in the front of your Bible, it'll tell you the page number and stuff. Chapter 20 is the big number. 19 is the little number. That's where we're going to be. So here's the context. Jesus came to earth, even though he was God. Gospel of John tells us that he was with God in the beginning. He was God, and everything's been created by him, right? But he chose to come because God loves us so much. God sent his one son to earth in all this mess. And God wasn't in a hurry. God didn't send full-grown Superman or something. God sent baby Jesus, grow up, suffer a bunch, be misunderstood a bunch, but help a whole bunch of people, serve a bunch of people, suffer a whole lot of misunderstanding and pain, and eventually get nailed up on a cross by a conspiracy of a bunch of religious people and a bunch of, like, militarily powerful people. Bunch of injustice working together. Even though he's got all this power, he suffers and somehow offers to take on all of our sin. You don't even have to understand that. You just have to realize, like, God's bigger than us. And Jesus suffered to open the way for us to get to God the Father. And he dies. And the people that have been following Jesus and left everything they owned to follow Jesus and slept on the dirt for multiple years following Jesus, they are really confused when he dies. And they don't understand. But Jesus rises from the dead, whether people understand or not, right? Jesus keeps doing miracles. God raises him from the dead. That's why we got hope. It's not just that Jesus died for us, it's that Jesus is alive, right? We don't worship a dead God. So Jesus rises from the dead, and John and Peter get there, and they don't get to see Jesus, but they've been following him enough that when they see a little bit of what Jesus is up to, they trust beyond what they understand. They don't understand, but they trust that Jesus is alive. And maybe today you don't understand everything, but you're willing to trust that Jesus is alive. And then Jesus, the first person he shows up to right after Peter and John have seen, like, the empty tomb you see right before in the preceding verses, if you have a Bible open, he shows up to Mary Magdalene. She doesn't even get who he is at first, right? Maybe she's crying so much or so upset. But Jesus commissions her to go and tell the other disciples he's alive. And so Jesus goes and tells the disciples that. Peter and John talk, I'm sure, about the empty tomb. And it's Sunday. And a group of people that believe in Jesus, believe that he rose from the dead, or at least talking about him rising from the dead, they're together on a Sunday. And I would say this is the very first church service that ever happens. It's right here in John chapter 20, verse 19. John goes out of his way to tell us it's a Sunday. Why do we get together on Sundays? Because Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday. And we just feel like that makes it a special day, right? So every week we're celebrating Jesus' resurrection as Christians, right? But that group of Christians, when they're together, here's how it opens, describing that group of Christians. It's the very beginning of verse 19. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, on the evening of Sunday, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. You see, the Jewish leaders had just conspired and gotten Jesus killed. And so they're scared. Satan tries to get at us through our fear and through our pride, or through both at the same time if he can. And this very first gathering of Christians has got a bunch of fear in the room. And at Maywood, like, I can tell you, like, I got fear and pride that I'm struggling with, and I talk to enough of you as your pastor, I know, like, there's fear and pride going around the room, right? You know, like, we got our struggles. They got their struggles. You come into a group at Maywood, you're not coming into a crowd of perfect people. You're coming to a crowd of people that are struggling. So what makes church worth sticking around for? Knowing that somebody at some point is going to gossip about you or say something wrong to you, or say something sideways to you, or just not show up when they said they were going to show up, or treat you wrong out in the business world, or fix your car but it breaks, or whatever other thing. You know, like, here's the reason we show up. We're going to read this next verse here. The end of verse 19. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Let's pause there for a second. Here's my big point today. We're going to get into some more tension. My big point, though, is the reason church is worth coming to is not because Jake's so great. It's not because everybody else around you is so great. It's that Jesus likes to show up when groups of people believe in him together. And Jesus is worth it, that he's worth all the mess, because it's like we're going to show up where he likes to be. And he likes to be around broken people that believe in him. And so if you're coming to Maywood and after a couple years you're like, "I've put in a lot, I expect a lot," you're headed for some heartache. But if you're coming to Maywood and you're like, "We're kind of a mess, but I'm hoping Jesus shows up," I don't think you're going to be disappointed with that, right? You're going to get hurt along the way, but Jesus is going to show up. Now when Jesus shows up, he says, "Peace be with you." He doesn't fix all their problems. If you read the rest of the New Testament, Christians still got problems, right? Peter, who's in that room, needs to be called out later in front of a bunch of other Christians for doing stuff wrong, you know? I mean, like, it's not like, oh, you know, fairy wand and you're perfect and happily ever after. There's issues to still be worked out. But he gives them this peace. We're going to come back to that peace, but let's keep reading. Verse 20. After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his side. I want you to use your imagination. Some of us adults, we don't use it anymore. We just use our thumbs to let people show us stuff or whatever. Let's use our imaginations. What was that like? To see Jesus resurrected, but the scars are so glorious that God didn't heal over those scars. He left them, right? Like, those scars are still there for Jesus forever, right? In his wrists, in his side. Picture it yourself. What color comes to mind? What smell comes to mind? What texture? Verse 21. Oh, sorry, I skipped some of that. Sorry, go back to 20. I'm sorry, I didn't read it all. Show them his hand aside. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Our joy as a church should come from Jesus is real. And Jesus wants to show up with us. You know, like, that's where the joy comes from. If we put our joy on something else, it's going to fail us at times. Okay? Verse 21. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you." He repeats himself when it's a big deal. "Peace be with you." And this is a giant statement here. "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." We talk about the Great Commission all the time here at Maywood. If you come to our prayer meetings or other stuff, we're always talking about the Great Commission where Jesus sends us out, right? Jesus' whole plan was to come, live on earth, start this group of followers, die on the cross, raise from the dead, but then to say, "Okay, I'm handing you the ball. Like, you got to run the rest of the way in." The reason there's so many broken things going on in Independence, we haven't carried it as far as Jesus wants us to, right? He's given us a lot to hand off to other people. But it's scary when a guy's standing there with a big, giant spear wound in his side and big things on his wrist, and he's just been tortured to death, to say, like, "Hey, by the way, you're on the same mission that I was just sent on." Like, some of us come to church and we're like, "Man, I expected to get over all my problems and to get a union job and to get a nice spouse that's just like I want, and have the relationship with my teenagers just like I wanted, and have all these things, and an SUV, and, you know, like, all this stuff, and I expect everybody to like me," you know? And it's like, Sometimes Jesus gives it all to us, right? Sometimes he's just crazy how much he blesses us. But sometimes you're going to follow him, and it's going to feel like you're being asked to get tortured and die. And around the world, and sometimes in the United States, right? Like, people suffer doing the right thing for Jesus. Okay? The same way the Father never left Jesus. Look at Jesus' relationship with God the Father when you're reading the Gospel of John. Like, Jesus goes through hard stuff, but he keeps talking to God the Father. That's how he's able to forgive. That's how he's able to do all this stuff, right? Verse 22. And with that, Jesus breathed on them, on the disciples, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." One of the reasons I don't think this passage gets read as much is, like, this is kind of hard to understand. If you grew up going to Sunday school or something, or you've read the book of Acts, you might be like, "Wait, what? Isn't that out of order?" You know, I've read some commentaries on this, like Calvin has a theory, a bunch of different Christian leaders have a theory about, like, wait, does Jesus give a little bit of the Holy Spirit here and more at Pentecost, or is this just John's church tradition? Or there's all sorts of theories here. It's okay to come to the Bible and submit to, like, I don't know for sure. I know this is useful for teaching me, rebuking me, training me in the right way to go, but I don't know how to put all the pieces together. That's okay to have a humble attitude. What I do know is that Jesus knew we were going to need the Holy Spirit. If you read earlier in John, he says, like, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to put my Spirit inside of you." And then he's going to say something else that we also have a hard time understanding. Verse 23, "If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." We read that and we're like, what, Jesus? Like, I don't know if you've met us, but, like, we can get bitter sometimes. And, you know, I was mad at Barnes & Noble for, like, a decade over something petty. You know what I mean? Like, we can get upset about stupid stuff. You know, my wife's laughing at me. You know, so I mean, like, I don't know, right? Like, this one's hard to understand, too, except for what I do know is First John talks a lot about confession. I do know, as Christians, like, confession and taking authority of, like, Jesus has forgiven you, there's something to that. It's okay to not understand everything, but to realize, like, Jesus is trying to give us a lot of authority, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us. Some of you are here, and you're like, wait, I need some more help. So here's what I want to talk about. There's a word there that came up. There's all this responsibility, but there's a big word that Jesus said twice. So go to this next slide. The white one, yeah. With great what comes great responsibility. A bunch of you have seen Spider-Man, so you're like, power, man. That's what Uncle Ben said, right? You're like, whoa. But what Jesus was talking about in this, I do believe power is something that Jesus gives us, right? You'll receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses, right? All over the earth. It's a little bit of paraphrase, but Acts 1:8. But what he talked about specifically here twice, he said peace. And I do believe Jesus wants us to have power. But a lot of the struggles I see with just staying together and working together is, like, we haven't really received Jesus' peace. So stuff messes us up and then we bail too fast before we have a chance to grow and mature. But I think when we accept the peace that Jesus has for us, but when we accept that, then we can have that great responsibility, right? I was like, oh man, I didn't know he was going to do that. So look out. You know, you're a small enough room, I can call you guys out. But with great peace comes great responsibility. What does that mean? Well, I want to talk to us a little bit more about the peace before I get on to, like, what does this look like in Jake's life? How has Jake failed at this? And then maybe how can Jesus help us? Here's one more thing. I'm going to show you a picture of me when I'm like 3 or 4. There you go. There's, like, little tiny kid Jake. When I was a little kid. And this is a cat that we got shortly before that, just a kitten. This is a cat I had growing up, and we found that cat on our doorstep, and it had this wound on the back of its ankle, and I was little, obviously. My head's huge for my body, even more so than now. You know, so I don't have a ton of memories from that time, but I can remember that cat. I remember the wound. And so I don't know if you have ever been the youngest in your family. Sometimes when you're the youngest and you're really little and something's happening, nobody's paying attention to you. And this is one of those moments. Cat's there. Everybody's freaking out. Are we going to keep the cat? Are we not? It's got this giant to the bone wound on its ankle. And little Jake was just like, boop, and like touched the wound of like, I've never seen anything like that. I'm three. And I like touched it. Now, this cat, I don't know what had happened to it. I love this cat, but I remember touching that bone, and even though it was all bloody, it was dry. And I can still remember that, like, what it felt like. So this is, I mean, I'm 40 years old. This was 37 years ago, and I can remember what it felt like. Here's the thing about touching a wound that's a big wound is, like, you don't forget that experience. The rest of the disciples' life, my guess is they could have a vivid experience of what it was like to be with resurrected Jesus physically. When we go through something hard, when someone says something cruel to us, when other people gossip about us, when somebody thinks less of us than they should, what if you would vividly remember Jesus' suffering? Does that bring some peace before you open up your mouth? I'm not saying we don't confront each other in love and say like, hey, don't talk about that person that way. Or don't even talk about me that way. You know, I'm not saying we can't confront, but do we have a full experience with Jesus suffered for us and overcame that suffering? Because like in Ephesians 4 and 5, when it's telling us how to use our mouths as Christians together, it says, your dearly loved children, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but follow God's example of love to you. Forgive like Jesus forgave you, or God forgave you in Jesus, right? Like the way we treat each other right, the way we stick by each other when other people don't treat us right, is that we know what Jesus has done for us. So you're like, Jake, get to the part where you fail, right? You know, you're like, let's get to that part, right? Okay, so I'd like to say, like, I'm a mature person. I don't get stressed out or worry. But I was getting ready to preach a sermon to you guys recently about not worrying. And I had conflict come up. Sometimes you know people pretty well, and one person says one thing, and you can already see the ripple effects. I'm like, oh, man, storm's coming. You know, like, this person said this, and I can see this person's going to react this way, and I can see six steps down the road, and it's going to be a lot of drama. And I got stressed about it. I got stressed about it, and what's a stupid thing to do when you're stressed and there's conflict going on? A stupid thing to do is to do this, right? And not to there, but just to here, right? So I start, like, crafting a message that I think is going to be helpful. Here's the nice thing about trying to obey Jesus is Jesus had pushed me, like, there was something God wanted me to get done that day, and I hadn't got it done yet. And I'm working and working and working as if my thumbs and fingers are going to solve this problem. But I looked at the clock and realized, like, I don't have time to get done the thing that I feel like Jesus told me to do. So I stopped my well-crafted little paragraph, and I went and did the thing Jesus told me to do. Fortunately, that ran me out of time, and I'm driving home, and I had a chance to pray before I hit send. As I started praying, I realized, like, Jake, you've created messes for yourself in the past by texting somebody when you should just talk to them. So that was good, right? So I didn't send the text. Victory won. I'd like to say, like, I'm mature enough. I just repented, and it was all peace after that, right? Unfortunately, I woke up. Here's the clock that I actually have in my room, and I can remember the exact time because it was a weird time. It was 4:44 in the morning. I woke myself up stressed out, and sometimes when I can't go back to sleep, I finally got up. I went and read the Bible. I was reading the John 14, 15, somewhere in there, and it talks about Jesus' word cleaning us. Here's the revelation that your pastor needed. It was also, Jesus says in John 14, like, he commands us to love other people. And I hate that was an insight for me with this whole situation with all this drama. It was like, Jake, you've jumped right to fixing, and you've viewed all these people as a problem. I'm sure I'm alone in that, so sorry that I'm on stage. Anyone's ever viewed people as a problem and want to fix. Thank you, Jason. Jason and I are we got issues, both of us, right? Nobody else. But it was like cleaning my heart, like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to love these people, right? Didn't send the text at all. Had some face-to-face conversations. It's not all fixed, but it's better than it would have been had Jesus not helped me out, if that makes sense, right? So why do I share all that? I've got some Christian friends here at the church help push me to go further. And one of the things we were doing this week was we were all pushing each other, like, let's spend some time in solitude. And so I was having a rough week. I was messed up internally, emotional. I don't even know why. Sometimes we just have weird weeks. And I thought maybe this time with God alone will fix me, right? I don't know if it did that, but as I was out in the woods walking around, I stayed a little bit longer than I had to. And when I stayed a little bit longer than I had to, I found a new little path I hadn't seen before. And it was really peaceful, a little creek and some grass. And it felt like, to me as a kid that grew up playing video games, it felt like I had found like a secret area. I don't know if you guys played video games a long time ago, but it reminded me of being a little kid. My neighbor up the street a couple houses had a Super Nintendo, and he had this game, Super Mario World. So Super Mario World, unlike, it was a pretty easy game, and you could bank a power-up in the top little thing there to where it was easy not to die, really. And when you're playing that game, I can remember being a little kid playing it. It wasn't so much about, like, hurry through it and get to the goal. It was more like pay attention and explore because there's lots of secrets. And when I was alone in the woods with Jesus, I realized, like, man, I've been stressed out and worried about some stuff, and Jesus has been taking care of the big stuff, but I've not been living the best life, you know? I've been kind of drug along through it. And my heart needed to shift more like the way it was as a kid. Like, less worried about the goal, less in a hurry, and more like, it's going to be okay. Why don't you pay attention and explore? So people are going to hurt you at Maywood if you stick around. Sorry for that. Like, but if you will stay curious, if you'll say, like, where's the goodness in this whole mess of a situation, Jesus will show you some secret stuff, right? He'll give you enough peace to go through the really hard stuff. And if we'll go through hard stuff together over time, we'll become more mature, right? And we don't get more mature by leaving, right? And if you're like, oh man, this is just a sales pitch for Maywood, like, wherever you wind up with some other Christians, you got to stay somewhere to become mature in Jesus. If you leave when things get hard, you're cutting yourself off from growing, right? Okay. I want to close this out with a benediction. We're going to jump to that Psalms verse. I read this week, and it was talking about light of life, and I was thinking about that, Jesus being the light of life. But this is what I want to pray over you guys. It's like, we don't have to be afraid of death. We don't even have to be afraid of the different ways we've messed up our lives, right? Like, Jesus can deliver us from all that evil, and we can walk with God with Jesus' light. So that option's available to any one of us. If you want to pray that prayer that guy prayed at the start of Maywood today, if you want to end Maywood with people starting a relationship with Jesus, come talk to me, come talk to Phil, who was giving announcements. Talk to somebody in the room and say, hey, I want to get close to Jesus. But I want to pray this on all of us, because all of us, even when we know Jesus, sometimes we don't let Jesus' peace rule in our heart. We stop following, okay? So if you guys will bow your heads, I want to pray this blessing over you guys. Jesus, please deliver us from death. Please deliver our feet from stumbling so that we can walk with you, God, in Jesus' light of life. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.